Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so thankful that, amen, He's unchangeable and unshakable and unmovable, unchangeable. Amen. There's nothing that we can point to on this earth that we can say that about, but that's the way our God is. Amen. He's a solid rock. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to be with you in the house of the Lord, and good to be in fellowship on this resurrection morning. We just thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. My wife and I were talking about it. We haven't been here many Sundays the last few months, so we're thankful to be here. We've been able, by God's grace, to do some traveling and going different places, and we've made more Wednesdays than Sundays. So, but we're glad to be with you this morning. Of course, we want to remember Brother Baker. He's in Africa ministering this weekend, and I don't know all the details of his schedule, but I know it's several days of travel to get there, and I know he's going to be back sometime this week. So it seems like what we call a turn and burn, right? You basically travel, spend all that time, travel, preach, I don't know, a couple days, 3 days maybe of services, and then turn around and do it again, come right back. So he shared with us that he was traveling, so they have to, you know, it's a long international flights to get there, of course, multiple flights to get to that part of Africa. And then they have to travel by car or bus, or anyway, I think it was car, you know, up through kind of some of the mainland. And he was sharing with us, well, right now we're driving on the wrong side of the road, and the trucks are going about 10 or 20 miles an hour, and we're going about 60, and we're weaving in and out of them, dodging oncoming traffic. So he said, please pray for me. He said, I can't imagine this would be the way that I go out, but so anyway, we just want to remember him in prayer. Amen. Not just for traveling mercies, but for the meetings, I'm sure. So I guess, let's see, if I can do my math, I guess it's 9 p.m. there. I think that's right. So anyway, just remember him. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible with you this morning, or you want to just look up at the screen, that's okay too. That's just a habit. If you have your Bible, amen, we can look at the screen though together as well this morning. We'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and just have a very simple thought on my heart this morning, or we could look at some of these things that, of course, we've covered before many times, but just pray that the Lord would maybe make it a little more real to us where we are here today. Give us food for the journey. Amen. Amen. We certainly appreciate God's word in due season. We know that it's, no matter how many times we hear it, it feeds us. Amen. Amen. I still like, you know, good food. Even if I've had it before, I like to have it again and again. And after a little while, if I haven't had it for a little while, I kind of get thinking about it. Might like it again. Amen. So we pray that the word would be like that this morning to us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Rest. What a peaceful concept that the word is introducing to us here. Because we know that there was no rest. And if you can't rest, if you've ever had one of those nights where you just can't sleep, you can't get comfortable, and you're kind of just antsy, you can't rest. Maybe there's something on your mind, or maybe there's nothing on your mind, and you don't know why. But it's unsettling, right? It's stressful. It's hard. We don't like it. But rest, peace, a place where we can enter into and know that we are right with God. No matter what's going on around us, what storms are raging, we have rest. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Amen. We love that, amen. To cease from our own works, not stressing, not striving, but just resting. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Amen. Everything that we do is to draw closer to him, to live in the spirit realm where there's rest. And there is a fight sometimes to get there. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what we want to focus on this morning is that 12th verse there where it says that the word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And this is where we see in the scripture, speaking of the different parts of our being, soul, spirit, and body. Soul, spirit, and the joints and marrow is our flesh. Amen. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That you put off. Amen. And what we want to title this morning is Off with the Old. Amen. Put off concerning the former, the past, the old conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, this corruption and these deceitful lusts, this doesn't always mean, you know, what we would think of as a murderer or the worst of society. This is just works of the flesh and lusts of the flesh. Amen. Turn verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for your word. Lord, it is true. It is sure. It is a firm foundation. Lord, and we know, Father, that if we just read and accept and receive your word and with faith this morning, with hearts to believe, Lord, we'll be blessed. Lord, and we will hear from you. We will be blessed of you. We will have spiritual food. And Lord, we will be able to move forward and move on if we be a doer of this word. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that we would receive it with thanksgiving, but that also that we would apply it, Lord, and move on in it, Lord. Step forward in your word by faith this morning. Lord, we just lift up our pastor to you once again. Prayers have already gone forth, but Lord, we just want to continue to lift him up. Lord, not only for safety, Lord, traveling and health, Father, but also just for spiritual blessings, Lord. Father, that you just continue to be with him, Father. We thank you, Father. We just commit this service, Lord, and the remainder of the day into your hands, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can be seated. I don't know if it was mentioned, but we will be having a youth dedicated service tonight. So it's the end of the month. So last Sunday night of the month, as you recall, we dedicate those meetings to our young people. Amen. So we look forward to that. I think it's already been announced that next month we'll be having a special guest speaker for our youth meeting. So we look forward to that. Amen? Amen. We want to take every opportunity that we can to pour into our youth, the next generation. Amen. So I just want to look just briefly here. We're going to look at these scriptures, and we want to, again, just review this idea that we are created as a three-part being, right? We are made up of three different parts. And this is one of those doctrines or one of those teachings that was brought to us and restored to us by our message. Amen. This is one of the things that really helps us understand what's happening around us. We understand the battle. So when we read a scripture that says, this is not a flesh and blood battle, but we battle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, we understand that, right? Because I'm seeing a person in front of me, and I think I'm battling against that person, but the scripture says, no, it's a spiritual battle. And so we recognize that person, if we have an understanding of this, that person has a spirit. Amen? And we also, through that understanding, realize how we are different than animals. Right? Because we have a body of flesh, an animal has a body of flesh, we have a human spirit, and an animal has a spirit, it has a life, but it doesn't have a soul. Right? It doesn't have that free moral agency in the soul. Now, the human spirit is different than the spirit of an animal because it's a human spirit, right? It's different than a horse or some other animal, but it's still the human spirit. And it's still tied to the body, and it's still subject to all of the things of humanity. Amen? So we understand that because we have these three parts to our being, that we are controlled not from the outside in, but we are controlled from the inside out. Amen? Or at least we have the capability, I'll put it that way, to be controlled from the inside out. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be controlled from the outside in, and that's a problem. Amen? But the soul controls the spirit, and the spirit controls the body. Amen. And so we realize that it doesn't matter so much how good we look on the outside if the inside isn't right. Because it's the inside that God is dealing with and looking at. But we also realize if the inside is right, the outside will reflect that. And that's where we get all of those scriptures about faith versus works, right? Faith without works is dead. But works does not justify us. Works is not faith. Works is not what we're saved by. Amen? And so this is always the tension in the scripture that the scripture is teaching us about, because we want to do things. We want to work out our own salvation. This is how we get legalism in the church. Amen? Because it's working on the outside, and they're saying, you should have this, or you should look like this, or you should do that. But then we begin to focus so much on the outer that we miss the working in the soul. And the gospel deals with all of the parts of us. It just deals with the soul first, right? Or that's what we should be focused on. Every person needs life in their soul. Because if the outer two realms are great, if your body is healthy and you have great emotional health and all of that, we all know people like that. They're smart and they've got everything together, but their soul is not redeemed. What good does it do then? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Right? So we're interested in healing for the soul, but God provides healing for the whole. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Healing for body, spirit, and soul. The difference is that when God comes down and heals your soul, when he touches your soul, when he brings life to your soul, it happens once and for all. Amen. Amen. Nothing can change it. Nothing can affect it. Nobody can take it away. It happens once, and that's it for eternity. That soul is passed from death into life. It doesn't pass back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The soul is either alive or it's dead. Once it's alive, it can't be killed. Brother Brown said you can no more die than God can die because his own life is deposited there. It's eternal life in the soul. Amen. Now, we need healing and deliverance in our spirit. We need healing and deliverance in our body. Amen. In our spirit, we need healing from depression and hurts. Amen. From anger and malice and all these things that afflict our emotions and our imaginations and our memories. Jealousy and anger. Amen. All of these things live in that spirit realm. And there are sicknesses that God can heal you of. Amen. He heals our spirit. And we come to church many times just in need of that type of healing. Lord, deliver me of this. I've struggled with this. You might be born again, yet still struggling in that spirit realm. Amen. And of course, physically we need healing. And our bodies, they break down, they get sick, they need healing. Things happen. Amen? There are accidents, whatever. Just living, our bodies break down. And sometimes we need help from the supernatural to override the natural or to aid the natural healing process. But the thing about it, brother, sister, healing in the physical realm in the body, it's temporary. Amen? We can be delivered of sickness and we'll get sick again. We can be miraculously healed. Amen? But eventually, our bodies are going to break down again. It's very temporary. Even Lazarus, who got sick and died, and Jesus miraculously resurrected him, performed a miracle on him. He somehow died again. Right? Every person that Jesus raised from the dead died again. Right? So that's not to say that we don't want it or don't need it. We just realize that it's temporary. Until the complete healing change of our bodies. Until we get a new body. Amen? Now, healing in the spirit can be a little bit different thing. It can be a little bit longer lasting. Right? If you're delivered from something, say you have an addiction or something, God can deliver you from that, and that's it. He can deliver you for forever. But even when we're delivered of things, we still have to guard it. Amen. We still, if we're delivered from jealousy or something, you know, or if we have anger for somebody and God brings healing into our lives, well, that doesn't mean that we will never be angry again, or that we would never be tempted to be angry, or we would never have to deal with those feelings again. We still have to guard that. Amen? Now, of course, we also understand that there's another little wrinkle in there, and that is demons that come in and bind us. Right? And of course, that deliverance that's delivered. Amen? Addiction is a good example, right? Where you have a binding power there. There's many parts to it. There's physical and there's emotional and then there's demonic parts of it. Very complicated, right? But God can deliver somebody from that. He can deliver somebody from cigarettes so that they'll never want to smoke again. Amen? But we know that if you're prone to something like depression, right, you have a weakness. You need to cover that. You need to guard it. You need to be aware of that. Amen? You need to watch out for the spirits an environment that you put yourself in, spirits that you listen to, and words that you receive, things that you take in. You need to be aware of that. We all have to. Amen? So, we have to guard it and we have to rule over it. Amen. Those things in our human spirit, they can just sway one way or another and they have to be ruled over. Now, I really like this. I just want to, before we go too much further, I just kind of want to point back to this 24th verse here that we read in our opening scripture, where he says, "You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, that, brother, sister, that is beautiful to me. Amen? True holiness. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. That is eternal. Amen? God creates that in you. Think about that. Amen. Full and complete healing of a dead and darkened soul by sin. A new life. A different life. Amen? You put on the new man which after God, in other words, after the same manner, just like God, God's life, amen, is created in righteousness. Created in righteousness. Our old blackened soul was not created in righteousness. Amen? It's created in righteousness. You were created in righteousness. Your soul. And true holiness. The only thing that you have now in your soul when you've been born again is faith. Amen. The faith or the soul only deals with faith or doubt. Belief or unbelief. It's not worried about memories and emotions and imaginations. It's not worried about things that it sees or feels. It is faith or doubt. It's either life or death. It's either righteous or unrighteous. Amen. So the faith in the soul that is truly converted then begins to exert control. It's actually a force in your life. When you're born again, there's a force placed in you. And that force begins to exert itself on the rest of your being. Hallelujah. Amen. We see this all the time in the natural realm when we look at how things are born. Amen. When some sort of animal or even a plant, something is born from a seed, there's a life in there. The life that's in that begins to push out. Right? Isn't that how a seed, a plant grows? You put the seed in the ground and somehow it's germinated. There's a life that's inside that seed. Science can't even find it. They can reproduce all the different chemicals, but they can't find that life. Isn't that amazing? Our God is amazing. People that say, "Oh, science has figured out God." No, they don't know what life is. They see chemicals, but they don't know what the life is. They can put a seed in the ground and as long as it has life, that life has a force. It has a power. Amen. And that power begins to push out. Amen. Now, if the nature of that seed is a watermelon, as it pushes out, it's creating a watermelon plant. Amen. It's not creating a corn plant. Now they might look, I have no idea if they look the same, but many plants look the same when they first come up. They're kind of just little green, a little shoot, right? Little green something. But it doesn't matter how much they look alike. There's a different nature inside of them. Amen. Though, you know, it might be, like I said, maybe it's a watermelon plant or a corn plant or, you know, pumpkin, whatever. When it first breaks out of the ground, it's just a little spot of green and everybody says, "Oh, it's that. I don't know. Whatever it is." Well, you don't know until it begins to manifest. And what does that mean? That means that the life that's in the seed begins to express itself. It begins to come out. Amen? That's what faith in your soul does. It's a power. Hallelujah. It's a power that begins to push out. And it the only thing that's required is the right atmosphere. What it is already in it. It's not going to change. It's not going to become something else. This is not a religion about becoming this or reforming that. It's about a new life. Now that we recognize, as with the little plant example, that everyone's life is in a different stage of maturity. Of course. Amen. But it must be that life. The problem many times is we're looking at it from the other direction. We're trying to ship shape that person or ourselves. But it's all about the expression of that life. The new man is created in righteousness, fully righteous, no sin, true holiness. That's the creation that's in your soul when you're born again. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, then, brother, sister, the works of religion really have nothing to do with it. Amen? Now, works will follow, of course. Amen? But this is not, well, if you do this and don't do this and do this and don't do this. No, it's a life. True holiness is created by God in you. So to have true holiness, it must be created in you first and then expressed. If you just try to have holiness on the outside, that's not true holiness. That is good. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But it's just a substitute until the real can come. Brother Branham made a statement one time where he was speaking about people that were trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he said, you just act like you have it until you get it. I believe this is what he was speaking about. You cannot actually have true holiness until you have it, but you can live holy, right? You can live right. So act right, live right, until you get that. Amen? We don't worry about observing customs. It's not given to us by the church. It's not given to us by man. It's created by God in you. Hallelujah. That's rest. Amen? Colossians 3 verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Or speaking about putting off the old. The old part is dead. Amen? When Christ, who is our life, that was created in your soul is from Him. He is your life. That is your life force. Amen? In your soul. Oh, brother, sister. What do we have this morning? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Hallelujah. What a promise. Amen. He created life in you, and He's not going to lose it. It's going to appear with Him. It's part of His plan. It's part of His program. But you have something to do. Verse 5. Mortify, therefore. So this is your job. Okay? Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Okay? So we want to break that down a little bit. Mortify your members, which are upon the earth. Let me just read it and then we'll break it down. Which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked in some time when you lived in them. But now, you also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. There's that word again, created. the new man that has been created in you. Amen? So let's just go back to this verse 5 here, mortify, dead. What does that mean? This is not a word that we use very often, right? Mortify your members. That's not a quick comeback that you would use with your friends. Come on, man, mortify your members. Right? Mortify means to make dead or to deprive of power, to destroy the strength of. Amen? So to render something impotent, to render it powerless, to destroy its strength. In other words, to put it in its place. Amen? To keep it down. To rule over it. Mortify your members. Well, what is that? That's speaking about your flesh. The members, your member, the members of your body. Amen? Amen? To make the members of yourself powerless before the control of the soul. Amen? So this is our instruction. This is speaking to us the job that we are supposed to be doing. Amen? We know we've been born again in this. If we've been born again in the soul, great. But now we have to deprive our flesh of the power to control our lives. Amen? This, brother, sister, is what we call overcoming power. What are we overcoming? Brother Juan said it. Ourselves. We are overcoming our spirit and our flesh. Amen? Our human part. The flesh and spirit are just part of the human animal. Amen? And they can be swayed. They can be influenced. Amen? Depending on the kind of environment that you're in or who you're around, your flesh and spirit can be influenced. But what makes us different from the animals is we have a soul that can override all of that. An animal just acts by instinct. Whatever their instincts tell them, I should do this, they don't sit and think about it. You know, it's interesting that being someone who hunts animals, and, you know, the more that you're out and you see animals and you see how nature interacts, and you see other animals killing each other, right? Animals killing other animals, predators, and things like that. An animal doesn't sit around and worry about death, right? It's not thinking like that. When it's in danger, it's not seeing its life flash before it, right? Like we react to danger and to threat to our life differently. Because for us, death has a different meaning. Amen. We have an understanding. We have a conscience. We have a soul. There's more to it. Right? An animal, it's just instinct. I'm in danger. Run. Or I'm supposed to be afraid of that. So run. May not even know why, right? But it's just an instinct. But with us, brother, sister, our soul has the ability to override the flesh, to override the spirit, to control. Amen? But it becomes a contest. It can become a tug of war. Amen? And by the way, it's a tug of war that we will always have as long as we are on this earth in this flesh. Amen. Let's read, see, what do I have? Oh, I actually have a quote up there. Let's go ahead and read that. I don't have this in my notes, but let's put it in the document there. Yeah, souls that are in prison now. It says, he never left his body, speaking about Jesus, he never left his body to see corruption, neither did he leave his soul in hell, or God the Father with Jesus, right? But raised him up on the third day, and he's alive forevermore, and we will have a body like his own glorious body. That's why we was baptized into his name, that we might come forth in his name, in his death and his resurrection, that we rise again testifying to the world that we have new life and that the old man is dead, that we bury that first nature. The first nature is gone, and now we are the nature of him. He lives in us, and we don't do our own will, we do his will. We don't think our own thoughts. The mind is what thinks. The mind that was in Christ Jesus is in every believer. And there is the soul, and that's what we're speaking of. And that's the part that I'm thinking of now that's within us, the soul. So that's what God is dealing with. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Well, what it's speaking about really is the soul. It's not necessarily just speaking about the mind as we would think about it, our reasoning, right? It's actually deeper than that. When it says the mind, it's speaking about our human will in our soul. So now if we go on to Romans 7, we'll see that a little bit deeper. So this is Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. So in my flesh, there's no good thing, right? That's the outer realm that we're talking about. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So just speaking about those outer two realms and their its natural tendency to just do what it wants to do. And many times that's just sin nature taking over. Amen? He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Amen. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So again, the law of sin is in the members. That's why we're supposed to mortify the members. Amen. But in the mind, or the inward man, he says, I delight in the law of God, in the soul realm. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, or our will, our free moral agency, amen, that happens in our soul, our decisions, amen, our faith, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So, there's a war going on there. Amen? There's a war happening. A law in my members warring against the law of my mind. So, in other words, the law of the outer two realms warring with the inner realm, the soul realm. Amen? It's a battle that rages within each and every one of us in our lives. And when the enemy comes against you, the enemy operates on those outer two realms. The enemy has access to those two realms. He doesn't have access to that soul realm. Amen? And so he comes and he anoints and he works on that. And that's why it's a battle. Amen? Because he can come in and he can anoint your memories. He can anoint your imagination. He can anoint your flesh. But I thank God that we have a power through the law of God in our soul that we have overcoming power. Amen? But the outer realms can be tempted with sin. Your flesh can be swayed by its desires. Amen. It can become an ally to your enemy. Yes. Your enemy. Amen. Your flesh can be an ally to Satan. He can find a willing accomplice sometimes in your flesh realm. Amen. He can give you temptations and your flesh goes, yeah, that's what I want. I want to stay in bed. I don't want to go to church. Amen. Your flesh would love it, right? And Satan says, why don't you just do that? And so your flesh says, yeah, let's do that. Amen. He can attack your memories. He can give you memories and just think about, remember when all used to have, remember those friends that you used to hang out with? Oh, it was such the good old days, right? Take you down memory lane and something in your spirit just kind of soothes it. Oh, yeah, wasn't that? And your soul says, yes, but you were lost. Amen. And you don't remember it exactly the way it happened. You're just remembering the selective memory. You're remembering the good parts. When you're physically sick and tired and weary, many times, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but for me, that's when the enemy, that's when I'm weakest, right? That's when I'm most susceptible to the attack. That's when the enemy can move in. He can wear you down. When you're weary in the flesh, amen? He can convince you not to pray or not to read or not to listen or not to come. Amen? He can get you separated. He can, when your mind is tired and your spirit is weary, he can plant false thoughts in your mind. Well, they don't like you, or that person's against you. Right? When you're weakened in that condition, you're more susceptible to those things. You're susceptible to getting the blues or getting depression. Amen? Being depressed. All of these things go hand in hand. That's why the Bible says it's your job to mortify your members. That's why we preach about these things, so that our eyes are open to it. We must be aware of the tactics of the enemy. And the problem is if we're not aware of it, we think that that's the real us. We think, well, I must be a failure because I'm thinking these thoughts and I'm going down this road again and I'm worn down and I didn't pray this morning and I didn't do this and we think that that's the real you. But when we recognize, nope, that's the outer realm. That's not your soul. That is not your soul. That is not the real you. That is not the true righteousness that God created in your soul realm. That's when your eyes are open to the enemy. Amen? And that's when the soul then can begin to assert the word of God. That's when, where Paul says, but with my mind I serve God. But it's a battle. I realize I'm beat down and my flesh is failing this way and failing that way. But yet in my soul, I serve God. And I know that there's overcoming power. Amen? The new nature in your soul feeds on the truth and on the word. That's why it's so important to feed it the word. So Brother Brown says this in Questions and Answers, and this is the question that was asked about Romans 7. The question says, Romans 7, 14 through 18, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I would do not, for what I would do, I would not, but what I hate that I do. Then if I do that which I cannot under the law, or to consent under the law, that it is good. Now then it is no more do I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And they said, this I cannot understand. He said, well, they wrote out that scripture, and that's Paul speaking to Romans, and he said, let me just kind of polish this up so you can see it. He said, in me is two persons, right? One wants me to do wrong, and the other wants me to do, and every time I start to do right, the wrong hinders me. How many of you people on the interviews this afternoon has run into that same thing this morning? The same thing, I spoke on it this morning, temporarily. You are an outward man, which is controlled by six senses, and you are an inward man controlled by one sense, which is faith. And this faith disagrees with all six senses if the six senses doesn't agree with faith. Amen. But one is contrary to the other. Right? Now, as long as the six senses agrees with faith, wonderful. Oh, if it was always that way, we would just cruise through life. Amen? And so many people, when they come to Christ, they get born again, they think that's how it's going to be. Man, I've got the Holy Ghost, it's clear sailing. Well, yeah. You've got a power now, but you've got a war on your hands. Now, brother, sister, this is what's so beautiful about what we are going to and why we must have a new body. Why we must take on, amen, a new form, a new, so that all of us does agree. Amen. But that's not for now. That's for later. So when the sixth senses agrees with faith, that's wonderful. But when the sixth senses disagrees with faith, then you leave the sixth senses alone. But that's, he just says that so easy. Just leave it alone. That's where the battle is, isn't it? It's, you know, when the word says, by his stripes I'm healed, and your flesh is going, nah, yeah, I'm hurting. Right? Leave the sense behind. Take faith. Now, for instance, he says Jesus made a statement or a promise. The inside man says it's true. The outside man reasons that it can't be true to you. Now, I just want you to think about just look at this, right? He's describing the turmoil that we go through. And if we're not careful, we will experience this, and we will think, I must not be a believer. Right? I'm not a very good believer. I'm not a Christian. Because your reasoning doesn't agree with faith. Because you're struggling in your members. You're warring with your members. He says, the inside man says it's true. The outside man reasons it can't be true to you. Then ignore the outside man and accept the inside man. Now that's the same thing that Paul's speaking of. He was sold under the law to carnal sin. So let me just back up on that real quick, because that's the tactic that the enemy will use to where you no longer even make the choice. Amen? Because you feel you receive so much condemnation. Well, I don't even believe, my faith is wavering. I can't even believe this promise. And how am I even, right? And you start going down that path, and it's not, you've left behind the original question. And Satan's got you looking at something totally different. And now you can't even choose faith. He says, every one of us is the same. That might bear repeating. He says, and that's the same thing that Paul was speaking of. He was sold under the law to carnal sin. And every one of us is the same. That's the reason we have the troubles we do. Married 4 or 5 times and this and that and all kinds of sin and adultery and everything along in our lives is because of those things. Notice he's talking about the sin condition that we all started in. Caused all of those problems. It's because of those things. We are carnal. And that part must perish. But then, inside, we are a spirit man, a soul inside. And that's faith in God's word. And when we, here we go again, this is our subject this morning, right? Cast off the old. When we, that's your job, when we bring our outside body under subjection to the word by faith, by accepting what God said. Okay? That's Those are the works of a Christian. That's the battle that the Christian fights. That's what we are doing. That's our part to play. Amen? This is our role. We, bringing our outside body under subjection to the Word by faith, by accepting what God said. He goes on to say, how can I take a cockle burr and make a grain of wheat out of it? So, in other words, two different natures, right? Cockle burr has one nature, a wheat has a different nature. There's a different life. You can't take one and make it out of the other without a change of life. He says, it's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be done is because inside the cockle burr has been transmitted from a cockle burr to a germ called wheat life. Oh, this is what's beautiful. Amen? If you take a cockle burr and you say, well, what's it going to grow up into? It's going to grow up into a cockle burr. It's a cockle burr seed. It's sticky. It looks like a cockle burr, right? It's not a wheat. There's no way for that to become a wheat. It's physically impossible. Because it's a cockle burr. But God can do miracles. Amen? He can take a cockle burr and he can take a different nature and put it inside the cockle burr. And it still looks like a cockle burr. On the outside, it's still a cockle burr, right? But now it has a different life inside of it. Amen. And what's going to happen is as it grows and it matures, eventually that life inside is going to exert itself. And it's begin to grow and mature and grow and mature and push out. And as it grows and pushes out, it ain't pushing out cockle burr stuff. It's pushing out wheat stuff. And it starts to look more and more and more like wheat. Oh, it's glorious. Amen. He says if he puts a germ called a wheat life, he says, then you bury that cockle burr, it'll produce a grain of wheat. See, because there's been a life of wheat put in that cockle burr. And the life of the cockle burr has been taken out. But the nature of the cockle burr is still sticky. That's the part we deal with. The life has been changed, but the nature is still sticky. And he says, and it will be until this new life has been fully developed out of the ground and raised up again. He says, when it comes forth, then it's no more a cockle burr, but a wheat. So if, in our example, his example, if it continues to grow and push out and grow and push out, as it grows, it'll grow into a wheat plant. It won't grow into a cockle burr plant. For a while, it looks like a cockle burr. Its nature is a cockle burr until that life matures, right? When it comes forth, then it's no more a cockle burr, but wheat. But while it's here on earth, so now he's bringing it down to the timing. While it's here on earth, in the out of the earth and a cockle burr, it's still sticky. It's got the nature on the inside of it of a wheat. But as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky. Amen. You're going to have that outside nature. As long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. Amen. It bothers me. Amen. Anybody else? It bother you? I'm not asking if my nature bothers you. I'm asking if your carnal nature bothers you. But he says it's going to bother you. Right? In other words, it's just going to be there. Right? It's always going to be present. Something that is annoying, it's interesting that he uses that word bother you, right? If somebody bothers you or something bothers you, usually it's because it's just persistent, right? It's just there. And you would say, man, that thing is really bothering me because it's just squeaky door. It's bothering me. Right. On every time it opens, right? It's something that's persistent. It just doesn't go away. That's what he's saying. It's going to be there. It's going to be hanging around. It's going to be a fly in the ointment all the time. Whenever you try to do good, it's going to be there opposing you. It's going to bother you as long as you live. But, he says, the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ, and all the sin has gone from you. See, so when we're raised up again in the newness of life, we'll have a body that is actually more like the wheat being grown out of the cockleburr instead of the cockleburr. We'll have the new body. Amen? That lines up perfectly with the seed, the life. It's actually the maturation of the seed life that he's put in us. Amen? Do you see that? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I want to just briefly, he's talking about Romans 7, and I just want to briefly look back at the verse here, verse 24. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And where he says the body of this death, many scholars and things, folks that have looked at this, think that he's referencing something that was a practice during this time by the Romans and by others, where they would take someone who was a murderer, or someone who, usually it was murder, right? Something that required capital punishment. And they would, the punishment would be, okay, you've been found guilty of murdering this person. And so what they would do, instead of just chopping your head off or crucifying you or killing you some other way, is they would take the body of the deceased person and they would tie it to the criminal. They would attach it to them. And they would take a dead corpse, and there's some accounts where they would actually attach it to them face to face, and some where they would put it on their back. But there's poetry about it. There's different historical accounts of poetry. I know. What a beautiful thing to write about, right? Shackled to his victim, eye to eye. It goes something like that, right? Eye to eye, and hand to hand, and face to face. I mean, can you imagine, right? The murderer, still very much alive, but has a dead body attached to them now. And they're forced to live out what remains of their life attached to a corpse. So this corpse that's hanging on them, they're carrying the thing around, right? So it's not just, there's the weight of it. They have to carry it. They're hindered by it. But then the body begins to decompose. It begins to, I mean, the skin worms are there, right? There's a stench associated with it. There's rotting flesh. I know you're all thinking about lunch, right? Disease would overcome the person. Basically, what would happen is that just the poison from that decomposing body would just leak little by little into the other person, and they would just die from it. They would get sicker and sicker and weaker and weaker. And I mean, can you imagine they would die a slow, painful death. And so many think that that's what Paul was referring to when he'd say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this?" Amen? And you know, if you think about it, it's true, brother, sister. There are many people that have unknowingly burdened themselves with dead weight. And do you ever hear that term, dead weight? Well, that's a whole new connotation to that phrase, right? This is just dead weight. Well, yeah, it is. It's really dead weight. But many people have strapped things to their backs. Amen? They do it to themselves. They carry around with them bitterness of the old man. bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and anger and malice. All those things that he mentions there in those scriptures that are works of the flesh, attach and they hold on to it. And if you hold on to it long enough, eventually it's going to kill you. It's going to overcome you. But at the very least, it's dead weight. It's hindering you. Amen? It's any kind of rotting attitude of death. Something that was done years ago, someone will still carry that with them. And it's rotting on them. And it's diseased. And it's polluting their, it's poisoning their current life. It's poisoning their mind. And it will kill you if you carry that thing. Amen? That's why we say, off with the old. Amen? Get rid of it. Take it off. Don't carry that around with you. Don't let those things affect you. Amen? Don't let that cocklebur flesh ruin your life. Because it's going to try. Amen? Your flesh wants to go down that road. It wants to think about those things. It wants pity. Anybody who's having a pity party, that's your flesh. It wants that. I want people to feel sorry for me. And the lower I go into self-pity, the more people, right, I can draw that. And that's your flesh wanting that. Well, all you're doing is picking it up, disease, rotten corpse, and carrying it around with you. You can't have the choice to get rid of that thing. Amen? Don't let the cocklebur flesh ruin your life. Amen. Don't let it ruin this service this morning. Too many people, when they come into church, they let their cocklebur flesh ruin the church service for their soul. And for other people's soul. They let their flesh run wild. Amen? You see, this is discipline. Amen? This is disciplining our flesh. This is saying, well, you know, I really resent, I don't like the way that the preacher is saying that. Well, that's your flesh. Right? If your feelings are getting hurt, guess what realm your feelings live in? This is why it's important that we identify these things, right? People don't like the way things are said, and oh, that really rubbed me wrong. Which part did it rub? So if it was the truth, the word, it didn't rub your soul wrong. Your soul just goes, is it true or is it not? Is it the word or is it not? That's it. It doesn't go, well, it was true, but man, it kind of just rubbed me. That's not your soul. Right? Your soul goes, is that true? True or false? It's the ultimate fact checker. Check it with the word of God. Word of God says it. It's true. And then we go to the next realm, right? It's your spirit that goes, oh yeah, but he just, why did he have to, right? Why do you have to be so blunt? That just rubs me the wrong way. Now we see, that's the spirit. That's the next realm speaking. That's the cocklebur nature. Right? Can get offended. Amen? Can get hurt. And brother, sister, we're not saying that it doesn't happen. It does. You are feeling those things. Those are very real to us. But we are not supposed to succumb to that. We're not supposed to let those things rule over us. That's where the problem comes. You start letting the cocklebur nature rule over you, and then anything that offends you is wrong. Anything that just rubs you a little bit wrong. Well, the word is offensive sometimes to your cocklebur nature. It just is. Amen? Amen. Let's go on. This is from the message Thirst. Brother Bram says, there's a control tower of the soul and one for the body. And each tower is a warning collar for the needs of the other. Now, we've read this before, but this is what we're speaking about this morning. And this from this message, Thirst, which is, he goes into these things in really great detail in this message. He says, so each one calls for the need of what it's calling for, and it sends out a wave of warning. For instance, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires of the body. The spirit desires for the things that it's in, and the soul desires its. And many times, these war one against another, right? So your cocklebur nature wants to be, for instance, it doesn't want to be rubbed the wrong way, right? It doesn't want to be offended. It wants to be petted, and it wants to be happy, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just what it wants. Amen? It's like your flesh that it needs to eat. There's nothing wrong with that. You would die if you didn't do that, right? You drink water, you eat, your flesh hungers and thirsts so that you will do that. Amen? But that doesn't mean you let it eat any time it wants to, right? Using that as an example. Or it eat any of the things that it wants to all the time, right? That's what makes us different, again, from the animals. If you want to see somebody who's, you know, completely undisciplined in their life, we used to be kind of, you know, you would call them like, man, they're kind of like an animal, right? Acting like an animal. Acting like a wild animal. Why? No inhibition. Whatever my flesh says goes. And that's when we talk about, you know, things that we don't necessarily need to mention, but just lustful things in our culture. You know, we call hedonistic things, right? That's just the flesh doing whatever it wants to do. Uncontrolled, unregulated, right? Just whatever I want in the flesh, that's what I'm going to do. Amen? And that's what we see in our culture. Whatever at the moment that desire is. He says, but so many times, he says, these war one against another, and we find that there's a great trouble today that too many people try to live between those two desires. For one of them desires a thing of the earth, and the other desires the things of heaven. And Paul describes it in Romans 7:21. When I would do good, then evil is nigh. And when you try, did you ever try to have that in experience, Christians? That's when you're trying to do something that's worthwhile. So he's going to give us kind of a concrete example of this, all right? He says, so you're trying to do something that's worthwhile. You go to make an effort to do something that's good. And then you find out that there is the devil on every hand just to upset you. Amen. Everything that he says, that's one good thing that I'd like to say that the Christians might know, that when you're starting to do something and there is something always trying to upset you in doing it, do it anyhow. Right. Now, of course, brother, sister, we know that he's speaking about as long as it's correct, right? If it's something that's right in terms of the word and we've made sure that it's the correct thing, right? We're not just talking about going off and doing any willy-nilly thing. He's speaking about, he says, doing something good. In other words, something that God has led you to do, that God is moving on your heart, that the word says for you to do, right? He says, Christians might know that you're starting to do something. There's always something trying to upset you in doing it. Do it anyhow. That's the devil there trying to keep you from doing what's right. Do you think the devil would ever do that, trying to go to church? That's just a nice, simple example that we can use because we know that God wants us to do that, right? And the enemy is right there trying to stop you from doing it. How about praying? How many times you try and get down on your knees and pray and this happens and that happens and the phone, text, and that, right? These are just little examples. But look at what he says. He says, the devil's there trying to keep you from doing what's right. Now, many times I meet with people that's prone to be a little nervous when they find out that they're trying to do something and everything is just blocking it off on both sides. And they say, it might not be the will of the Lord, see. Now, he says, now don't let the devil lie to you like that. The first thing is to find out whether it's the will of God or not. You shouldn't even be attempting it if you don't know that it's the will of God, right? So once you've made that sure, then go on. He says, then if you want to know whether it's the will of God, look in the Bible. There's things that set you straight. It's the Word of God. And then if you see it's in the Word of God for you to do it, like for instance, seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many times I run into people and say, well, I sought for the Holy Ghost and I just couldn't receive it. I don't believe it's for me. Every time I get down, I get sick and I go to praying. If I fast, I get sick. And if I try to stay all night or stay up, I get so sleepy, I can't get off my feet. Oh my. Somebody say amen. Amen? I fast, I get sick. I get down to pray or I stay up, I get so sleepy. You see what he's talking about? He says, remember, that is the devil. Because God intends for you to have the Holy Spirit. It is for whosoever will. Many times you'll find when you're prayed for in a meeting for divine healing, the next day you'll find out, no doubt, that the devil will make it twice as bad as it was the day before. See? That's just Satan trying to get you away from the blessing that God's got for you. Don't you listen to that fellow, see? Always press right on. And brother, sister, that's the struggle, isn't it? To press right on. To press right on. Amen. Now, just real quickly here, we just want to kind of wrap up this thought, this idea of these three body, spirit, soul, right? With the type that's in the scripture is the type of the temple, right? Where you have an outer court, an inner court, and then a holiest of holies. Or there's the outer court and the holy place and the holiest of holies, right? There's three different phases, three different areas as we get closer to the presence of God. And then, of course, the holiest of holies is where the presence of God, the Shekinah glory, dwelt in the temple of God, or where he would come down on the mercy seat, right? Everybody with me? We don't have time to go into all of that in detail, but we just want to look at those things, seeing how that is a type of our person, our being, amen? In the outer realm, there's all kinds of things going on. There's commotion, right? They're out in the weather. If it's daytime, there's light. If it's nighttime, it's dark, right? It's just a real natural realm. You move in and it's covered. You're in there with candlelight and you're out of the elements, but you're still not in the presence of God. There's some food there, but the only way you get into the presence of God is to go into that inner realm. And that's where he lives. The other realms are affected by the atmosphere. They're affected by what's going on around them. In his presence, in that soul realm, it's not affected by that. It's affected by the Word of God. Amen? And that's what happens as believers, is our outside realms are always affected by what's going on around us. Many times, we can be influenced one way or another, right? We've talked about influence. But we choose down in that realm how we respond. And we have a choice then to be able to create our own atmosphere. That was one of the things, you know, as a young Christian, the main difference, I would say, between, if you would ask me, when I first received the Holy Ghost as a young man, 20 years old. If you'd ask me what the main difference, the very first difference that I noticed that was changed in me is that before I was more susceptible to what was happening around me. If I was around Christians, then I was, you know, I would do the right things. If I got around other people, it was easier to slip into whatever they were doing. Right? But once that power comes, that power then has the ability to take you against the tide, where you create an atmosphere. You get around negative people, and without the Holy Ghost, you know, I would slowly become very negative. But with the Holy Ghost, instead I would slap that negative person and try and lift them up. Right? Don't get me down with your negativity. I don't mean that literally, of course. Right? But something in you gave you the strength to recognize, look, I'm not falling for that devil. I know what's going on. There's a power in me and the Holy Ghost rises up in me and I don't get drugged down by that. I can choose. Before I couldn't choose. But now I can choose. That's the difference. Now you can still choose to be drugged down by the negativity. But that's your choice. Without the power, you can't really choose. You eventually get drugged into it. That atmosphere will affect you. Amen? So let me just read to you. I've got just a couple more statements here and then we'll finish up here. This is from questions and answers. So this is that same message. He says, someone told me he had one time was converted and received the Holy Ghost. And he said to me, how are you getting along? So we've heard this story about the chief, right? And he said, pretty good and pretty bad. And he says, well, how do you mean pretty bad and pretty good? He said, well, since me received the Holy Ghost, he said, there's been two dogs in me and one of them, a black dog and one of them a white dog. And said they argue all the time. And said they growl and fight at one another. And said the white dog wants me to do good and the black dog wants me to do bad. And I said, well, chief, which one of them wins the fight? And he said, depends on which one the chief feeds the most. So I think that's a good answer here. See, he says there, it just depends on the warring of the body that's in you. It depends on which one you cater to, which nature you cater to. The carnal nature after the things of the world or the spirit nature after the things of God that does it. Now, the thing is, before you're born again, you don't have a choice. Right? You're just fighting with nothing. You have nothing to fight with, is what I mean. Right? You have no power. There's no white dog there. Right? So, but once you do, there's a battle. There's a war. And they're fighting against each other. So he goes on to say, this is later in that same message, the thirst that we were reading from, or earlier actually in that message. He says, now, the word I want to speak tonight out of the Bible is found in the second verse, thirst. The word thirst, he says, I was looking it up in the dictionary and I was looking up the word and I was thinking about a sermon one time I preached on thirsting after life. And I took it from the Psalms when David said, thy statutes, I believe, are more precious to me than life. And then I was looking and thinking about that word thirst, and I looked it up in the dictionary, and what Webster says, it's a painful desire. Painful. When you want something so bad until it becomes painful to you. Now, it's not an unnatural thing to thirst. Thirst is a natural thing. It's just simply something that God has given us to give us a desire for something. And sometimes God has given you a control tower, something that sits inside of you that controls these different desires. And this thirst, this control tower that sits in a man's heart is something that God gives him to warn him of the desires that's needful for him. There's two different kinds of thirst. Thirst physically, and there's a thirst also spiritually. And I would like to read this again, what David said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Not some historical or something that happened some years ago or a tale that someone told, but the living God, a God that's ever present, and his soul thirsted for that God, not a historical something. And we find that God gives the control tower to you to give to you the things you need. The control tower is in you, is what directs you. And this thirst runs on this control tower and tells you what you have need of. Spiritually speaking, the control tower in the body and the soul also, and there's a control tower in the body that tells you what you need in your body. And it's brought to you by thirst, and there's a control tower in your soul that tells you of the spiritual things you have need of, something in your spirit. And by this, you can tell what kind of life is controlling you. By this, you can tell what kind of life is controlling you. When you can see what your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of a something that's in you that's creating this desire that you have, right? So the desire tells you where it's coming from. Amen? It tells you where it's originating. If it's a desire for God and it's a desire for the things of God and the promises of God, you know where that's coming from. If it's a desire of the flesh, you know where that's coming from. And sometimes you allow it when it's right, right? You allow your flesh to sleep when it's time to sleep. You allow your flesh to eat when it's time to eat. But the key word there is allow. We can't let the flesh run our lives. He says, so you can tell by what kind of something that's in you that's creating that desire you have. And there's a certain thing that you thirst for, and it can tell you in your soul what this desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have. I hope you can understand that. So we see each part, each of the three parts has a control tower, amen, and it has desires and needs. And it cries out for whatever it has need of. And by our free will, we make decisions. Right? Which one we're going to allow. And we choose what we think about. We choose what we meditate on. Right? In our spirit realm, we choose. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't have said, whatever things are good and pure, think on these things. We have a choice. We have a choice what we think about. We have a choice what we allow our flesh to get away with. Amen? We have choices in all these things. We choose. We choose to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to mortify our members. We choose to put ourself under ourself. Amen? To get control of ourselves. We choose. And the difference, brother, sister, is the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit allows us to do that. This is the overcoming power. We talk about power of God in our lives. That's the power of God. It's the power to hold your tongue. Yeah. It's the power to, your flesh is calling out, man, I really want to say something. And the Holy Spirit power in you and your soul says, but that's not what the Word of God says. That's not my nature in the soul. And the soul says, no. Right? And you don't do it. You don't say it. Right? That is overcoming power. I really, really want to, you know, share this rumor. I really want to spread this gossip. Your flesh would love that, right? Because, man, it's so fun. You get to talk about things that are going on, and your flesh likes that. Your flesh likes to feel like it's part of something. It's strange how that works, right? But people get enjoyment from those things and being knowing, being on the inside track, and I know what's going on, and you don't know what's going on, and your flesh can like that, right? But that's not godly. The Spirit of God in that soul realm overrides that flesh desire. It says, look, is this edifying? Right? Is this something good? Is talking about this going to help somebody? Right? Is this for their best interest? I know what you want, flesh. You want what you want, what you like. But the soul starts to think, well, what about the other person? What's best for them? And I cut myself off for their benefit. I stop my flesh. Right? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God. It's not just miracles. Right? It's not just the moving of the Spirit of God to do signs and wonders. It is, but it's not just. Sometimes the signs and wonders is a church that is free from gossip. Amen? Sometimes the miracles is somebody who's allowed the Holy Spirit to so move in their life that they shut their mouth. And that's supernatural. Right? If they tend towards that way, their flesh moves out. Now, other people, it might be the other way around. Sometimes it's the Holy Ghost to open your mouth because your flesh doesn't want to say anything. Right? But you see what I'm saying. Amen? It's casting off the old man. It's a new creation born in true righteousness, created by God in that soul realm. Amen? But it's a fight and it's a battle. So don't be discouraged. It's a battle. If you're feeling the effects of that fight and you're wondering, am I even doing the right thing? Yes. You're fighting. Amen? You're fighting the battle. We choose to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us to live this life without you. But you said, I will be with you, even in you. And you will be overcomers. Lord, that's what you do in us, Father. That overcoming power is something you put in us. Your Spirit, Lord. That life. But Father, we see in your word, Lord, you said that our job is to labor to enter into that rest. Our job is to put off the old man. Our job is to mortify our members. Something we have to do every single day. Many, many times a day. And Lord, sometimes we just get weary. Sometimes we get worn down. But Lord, I pray that you would bring a renewing and a refreshing. That's what your presence does. That's why we need Holy Ghost-filled meetings. We need old-fashioned meetings, Lord, where you're pouring out your Spirit and where we hear the preaching of the Word, because it renews that in us, Lord. We realize that this is not a futile battle, but we are winning this battle. We are marching on to victory. And just because we're struggling, Lord, it doesn't mean that we're not saved or we're not your children. It just means that we're battling. But we don't want to give in, Lord, to that flesh realm, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless your children this morning. Lord, when we begin to think about that, where you said that you told us to put on the new man, which is created by you in righteousness and true holiness. Lord, I want that for every single person. Lord, those that have not received it, I want it for them, Lord. I want to do everything that I can so that every last one that wants that, Lord, receives it. And those that have received it, Lord, I want them to walk in greater victory. Lord, won't you grant that, Father? Won't you just be with each one this morning? May your Spirit just come and anoint this word. Father, I know just a simple, maybe evangelistic type meeting, whatever. Lord, just a simple thought, but out of your word, Father, it's truth. And it's something that we deal with every single day. I pray that you would meet with each one, Lord, and minister, Lord, to them exactly where they're at this morning. We thank you, Lord. We just commit this seed that's gone forth, Lord. May it find good ground, Lord. May the water of your Spirit come and anoint it and water it, and may it bring forth much fruit in our lives. We thank you, Father. We worship you. We honor you. Lord, I can't think of a better way to honor you than to live for you, obey you, walk in your ways. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.